You're listening to the Restoration Church Podcast. We are a church in Lexington, Kentucky, who believes that Jesus is restoring people who restore the world. Our mission is to join him. For more information, visit us at www.restorationlex.com. Thanks for listening.
How are we? All right. My coffee is awesome today. Going really well. Good to have you guys. My name is Justin, and I'm going to preach for about an hour. So, I'm just kidding. It is spiritual discipline to have all that food over there and not be eating it right now. But so, I promise we are not going long today. I'm really grateful for you guys coming and being a part of this today. I'm grateful to have Hannah back with us. And baby Nora's here for the first time. If you can hold her up Lion King style, that would be awesome. Ah, sadanya. There we go. Nailed it. All right. Well, it's also good to have, we have some of our older and elementary kids in here. So can we welcome our kids to our service here today? Really good to have you. Thanks, Sarah, for coming and putting up with us adults. And doing that. Well, I'm excited to have a meal because we're heading into Thanksgiving week, and I love having a meal with the church because church is messy, right? Church is messy and kind of a beautiful mess, if you will. We say that a lot. But I know a lot of us, as we head into the week where we're dealing with families and different situations, this is not always the easiest week for some of us, right? Some of our family situations be it relationships, be it estrangement, be it deaths that have happened, be it divorce. I mean, just lots of stuff can make a week like this really hard and really messy. And so we love having a meal together because all of us in sort of the broken places we're all in can come together as this family, this mosaic of people and stories, and come together and just be the church together and be a family. One of our values is just that. Church is family. We say that a lot. That it's not a service, it's people, it's us. Even in our messiness, that's who we are. And listen, today, just like every other meal that you are going to eat this week, it's going to be a little chaotic. So forgive us for that. We're getting things together right now. And, oh my gosh, potluck in Jesus' name, I'm ready. So, well, anyway, I want to share really quickly from a passage in Luke chapter 17. So you can, if you have a Bible or your phone or whatnot, it's going to be on the screen too. Check it out with me because we're going to look at this together and let this be sort of a foundation for where we're at today. So Luke chapter 17, starting verse 11, it says, "While traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" So let's unpack this a little bit. You may not know the nuance of what's happening in this story. It says he's passing between Samaria and Galilee. Why is he doing that? Well, because as Jews, they hated Samaritans, and Samaritans hated Jews. They saw one another as unclean, and so Jews would literally travel around Samaria to keep from going through there, even though it was much quicker to go through there. Jesus has traveled through Samaria and does in different parts of the Gospels, but in this point, he's traveling a well-worn road, because if you're a Jew, you don't go near the Samaritans. So this is kind of the in-between spaces, and on top of that, we see all these men with leprosy. Now, leprosy in the Bible, most scholars think that they basically took a lot of different skin diseases and put them together and called that leprosy. But there is a leprosy. It's a very horrific skin disease. It just does incredible damage to your body from head to toe. And so, by Jewish law, if you had leprosy, you had to basically be ostracized, be quarantined from the rest of society until you were well. And so most of these folks were never getting well. And so from that means they were constantly, for their entire life, kept on the outskirts, kept in the margins, away from people. They could not get near anyone else. And so this is for a Jew, this is a very, let's say, religiously sensitive situation. Near Samaria, and near lepers. So it's kind of jumping around all these places and people and stuff that I'm not supposed to touch. This is where Jesus is walking. So let's keep going. Verse 14 says, when he saw them, he told them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And while they were going, they were cleansed. So this needs context too, because for the Jewish people, if you were cleansed of leprosy, you began a long process of making sure that you were really cleansed and could get back in society. In Leviticus 13, you can read through, there's these long lists that if you have any skin disease or leprosy, you have to do all of these ritualistic things, these ceremonies to make sure that you are entering into society. So that, and that begins by showing themselves to the priest. The priest is the one who says, okay, you're good to go, you can come back in. So they would have to travel to the temple, they would have to go through the whole process. And Jesus does something interesting here. Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now think about this a minute. Like, it wasn't Jesus saying, you're healed, boom, now go show yourself to the priests because you can get back in. It was Jesus saying, in your mess, in your messiness, in your disease, go even now. So he's inviting them into a very clear act of faith here. Even in the midst of your own place of brokenness and sickness and pain, go right now before you're even healed. And it says that as they stepped into that act of obedience, as they stepped into doing what Jesus was calling them to do, in the process of that, they were healed. We say this a lot around here. Faith is simply taking the next step. That's all faith is. We like to think that faith is memorizing the map, is having everything figured out, having all of your ducks in order. And in reality, all faith is for us, friends, all faith is having the willingness that on what God is doing, on his promises, simply just taking the next step and the next step. And the next step, and the next step. In fact, there's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of people who have memorized the map of spirituality, who think they know everything there is to know, and yet they have never taken one step. That's called religion. Having a lot of knowledge, but never stepping out yourself into places of faith. And that's what these lepers were doing. They were stepping out in faith before there was victory, before there was cleansing. They took that first step. Faith. Now that in and of itself right there could be a sermon. Could be a sermon. But the story, interestingly, does not end there. You could take that from there, but imagine being a leper living outside of Jerusalem, and for the first time, you're cleansed. You're no longer an outcast. The scales fall away. Everything's about to change. Your mind starts to turn of all the people and the places that you haven't seen or the places you wanted to go for so long and you can't go there. And so as they're walking towards the temple, just imagine the excitement begin to grow as they see the healing come over their body. They think, I can be with my family. I can be back in society. I can eat with my friends. I can go through the streets of Jerusalem. I can go to the temple. Everything is about to change forever for these people, except for one leper, except for just one of them. So the story continues. But one of them, it says, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan. Now, that's like Jesus as he's telling this story to a Jewish audience. That's like a little bit of a knife sticking in because it's not the Jewish, it's not the obedient Jewish people who have everything right on the outside. They're getting everything together. It's the person who supposedly gets God wrong who actually figures out what's happening in his life. Something that happened beyond a physical reality. Something that happened beyond what's happening on the outside, and when you recognize where your healing comes from, the only natural response is to stop and to turn around and to start saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then that's what he does. That's what he steps into. So the final part of this passage, starting in verse 17, says that then Jesus says, we're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? Where's the other ones? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he told him, get up and go on your way because your faith has saved you. Did you guys know that in the New Testament, the word for healing and the word for salvation in the Greek are the very same word? There is no difference. Something happened in this Samaritan that did not happen in the other 9 people. You see, there is a type of healing. There's a type of religion, we'll say, that looks really good on the surface. That looks like everything's getting figured out. That looks like there's something happening and change is happening. You may even have new patterns and ideas, and but it stays on the surface. But underneath, there's still a rot. There's still cynicism. There's still anger and resentment and bitterness. And what this story is really sticking us to is to tell us that true restoration, what happens in us, the real restoration work, it always culminates in gratitude. There's a healing that stays on the surface, but the real, the true restoration, the true life change that happens always bubbles over in something saying, thank you. The cynicism gets chased away. The bitterness gets chased away. And the 9 who walked and got all the healing on the outside, Jesus says they were healed, but the only one he says his faith saved you is the one who turned around and came back to Jesus and said, thank you. Thank you. I think there is a danger for us to be so consumed in what we're doing for Jesus that we never actually end up back at his feet. To be so busy with religion, to be so busy with what we're supposed to do, but we never really truly find ourselves stopping and remembering the source of where all of this came from and turning our hearts and our minds around and running right back to Jesus and just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, an expression of gratitude can change a room. It can change a reality. And when you feel grateful, you know, when you feel really grateful, like something you get, and it's like, oh my gosh, and you just can't help it. I remember when Erica and I were dating, I think we'd been dating probably around a year at this point, and I was leading worship at the time and had a guitar, and my guitar was okay, but then Christmas morning came, and we're at my parents' house, and she brings out this Taylor guitar that I did not know I was going to get. And the Taylor guitar, if you don't know what a Taylor guitar is, that's a nice guitar. I had no clue this was happening. And my whole family's there and everything. And I just started weeping. And I'm like, this is A, embarrassing, but I didn't know what to do. I was so thankful. Like, who would do this for me? And I married her. But specifically because of that. The rest of it was great too, but more for the guitar. No, but I could not hold in the emotions, the overflow of something that had happened to me. I could not believe someone could be so kind and giving to me. And it just came out. So today, as we share this meal, and we'll take some time and talk a little bit later, after we eat, but today's just a day to anchor our hearts once again and just simply saying thank you. There's power in thank you. There's power in just receiving and giving gratitude and allowing the overflow of what God has done in and through us to come out. So what we're going to do is I want to pray for our food. We're going to get up and go eat. Hopefully, this is a good crew here, so hopefully we have enough food here. I think we will. God multiplies food. I've saw it in the Bible one time, so I'm sure we'll be fine. But I know some of y'all eat, so we're going to make it happen. So go through the line. We're going to eat. We're going to take a few moments. What I encourage you to do is at your tables to, in conversation, just be bold and tell somebody what you're thankful for, or who you're thankful for, or what you're thankful for, and maybe we'll share a few of those here in a minute. Introverts, I love you. You can do this. You can do it, I promise. So I'm going to pray for us, and then in an orderly fashion, don't anybody punch nobody, okay? Let's get up, and let's eat. And I am very grateful because I love to eat. It is my spiritual gift. So, all right, we good? I'm going to pray, and let's get up and let's eat. Father, we thank you for saving us, for healing us. God, would you stir our hearts in gratitude this morning? Lord, would you remind us that despite the world telling us that we are self-made people, that we are the product of so much generosity, not only from you, but from other people. And so in this time, this morning, God, I just ask for a spirit of peace and a spirit of unity in the chaos of our worlds and the chaos of our families. Would you just have a moment here where we can just be settled in as your sons and daughters, enjoying the beautiful life that you've given us. We love you so much, God. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for what you're doing. Bless this food. Help it to nourish us and bring us together. And we love you and thank you. And all God's people said, amen. All right, let's eat.